Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma, daf Lamed Ches. We're Lamed Zayin, Lamed Beis. We are continuing in the discussion of all the upgrades that were made in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah Lamed Zayin, Lamed Aleph spoke about the upgrade of the copy, of the box that was used for the lottery. Meaning, obviously, in Yuma, the finishing up today, the third paragraph of the Masechta. So the Mishnayos are now going through the Seder Avodas Hayom. And we're up to the point where, after having shechted the Karban Tamid, wearing his Big Day Zahav, changing now into his Big Day Lavan, having the Tefillah between the change, having his Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, having washed his hands and feet, so now he starts to do the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The first thing he did, which we described already in the previous Mishnah, going all the way back to Lamed Amud Beis, is that he did Vidui. So he did his confession. The Vidu was mentioned on Lamed Hey Amud Beis. They brought him his par, his bull, that he paid for with his own money. He was standing on the west side of the Mizbeach, placed his hands on the bull, and he did a Vidu. He did a confession where he confessed for his own personal sins and that of his wife. Then he goes to the east side of the Mizbeach, where he's going to do the Hagrola, where he's going to do the lottery in order to select one of the two goats. One of the goats is going to be offered in the Beis HaMikdash, and the other goat is going to be thrown off the cliff. One of the upgrades that the Mishnah mentions on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph in yesterday's daf was that originally the plaques that were used for the lottery, one of them had the name of Hashem on it, or La Hashem, and the other one was La Zazel. So the plaques were originally made out of wood, and an upgrade that was made in the Beis HaMikdash is that somebody made golden plaques. And then the Mishnah says, as long as we're here, as long as we're discussing upgrades, so the Mishnah continued in its discussion of upgrades. The last things mentioned in the Mishnah, on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, was done by Hiloni Amalka. Hiloni Amalka made a couple of upgrades in the Beis HaMikdash. One, Nivresha Shel Zahav. Someone quipped to me yesterday. It's like the first chandelier in all of history. And then quipped how Hiloni Amalka probably was Hungarian. The Nivresha Shel Zahav, what is that a reference to? So you look at Rashi back in the Mishnah. So Rashi says it was some sort of menorah that was placed on the east side of the Beis HaMikdash. So what does that mean? It means that as the sun rose and the sun caught the menorah, so basically it broadcasted a light over the floor of the Azara. And at that point in time, everyone knew it was time for Kriya Shema. That's one feature that Hiloni did in terms of upgrading the Beis HaMikdash. What was the other thing she did? She made another plaque, and this was for the Sota. The Sota, when she had to read from the Parsha Sota, so there would be a plaque in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, it's a kind of a sad upgrade, meaning the use of the plaque was never a happy moment. It was never a happy occasion. That means that a woman was, to a certain degree, unfaithful. She wasn't. She's not a known adulteress. Otherwise, we never go through the process. She would be then, if due process, if there were witnesses, so then she would be sentenced to death. But in the event that she secluded herself with a man, so then she has to go to the Beis HaMikdash and she goes through the Sota process. So as an upgrade, what she did is she made a plaque. This is where we left off yesterday in the Gemara on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Shamas mina kosher megillah latino kli islamid ba. Okay, so the Gemara says this takes us into an issue, onto a discussion which seems to be somewhat debatable, which is, can I write little snippets of the Torah? Meaning, in other words, when you write a Sefer Torah, so we have to write the entire Sefer Torah, right? The entire Sefer Torah represents Shem Hashem, right? Ki Shem Hashem Akra. We actually just discussed that yesterday. So the entire Sefer Torah represents Shem Hashem. So you can't write just one pasuk or half of a pasuk. And meanwhile, what comes out over here is that Hiloni Hamalka upgrades. So what did she write? She wrote just a selection of psukim on the plaque, which had to be stated by the Sota, by the Isha Sota. So the Gemara says, so it sounds like from over here, Kosvin Megillah Litinok Lislam Medba, that if I want to write like a little Megillah, like a little scroll, that has a little selection of the Torah, that'd be fine. Assuming that I want it for the purpose of education, would be fine. So I'm Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yannai Baal HaBeis. So Reish Lakish has the name of Rabbi Yannai. No, you're not correct. Meaning you can't do that. You can't write just a little selection of the Torah on a piece of paper. That you're not allowed to do. Okay, if you're not allowed to do that, so then what was the justification of Hiloni Amalka writing the psukim of the Sota? So the Gemara says Aleph Beis. What does that mean, Aleph Beis? Rashi explains. Let's take a look at Rashi Osio Shal Rashi Tevos. The psukim weren't actually written out. It was just that the psukim were there in the form of Rashi Tevos. So that means that as each word of the pasuk reads, just the first letter was there, just to signal what should be the next thing stated.
Don't we do it with tefillin and the mezuzah?
So we write entire parshios, meaning over here it's even less than a parsha. It's like it's a pasuk. It's in some cases not even a full pasuk. Okay, so and aside from that, it's a mitzvah. The tefillin, the mezuzah, that's a mitzvah. Over here, just stam. Okay, so ba'alav beis meiz v'kishu kosev roev v'kosev masha kosev b'tavla. So the Gemara says, well, the Braisa says, you know what they would do? They would copy, meaning they would look at the tavla, meaning the tablet that was donated by Hiloni Amalka, and the simple pshat on the Braisa is they would copy word for word exactly what's to be written on the klaf, so that it could be dissolved in the water. So ema roev v'kosev kim masha kosev b'tavla. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll modify the Braisa or modify our understanding of the Braisa. It means that we're going to write that which is kitavla, meaning that which is indicated by the tavla, but not actually letter for letter, word for word, that's on the tavla. Now here, this next Braisa, same basic point, but is very clear in terms of what was actually written on the tavla. Im shachav ish osach, v'im lo shachav. Im shatit, im lo shatit. Meaning the psukim that are going to be ended up written on the cloth. So the Gemara says, Hasan b'sei rugin. So again, the Gemara basically deflects, and the Gemara gives basically a similar answer. Meaning, im lo shachav osach, or im shachav ish osach, and then basically dot, dot, dot. Im lo shachav, dot, dot, dot. But the entire pasuk is not going to be written on the Megillah. It's still only going to be like Rashi Tevis. It's just going to still be an acronym. And over here, just the first two or three words of the pasuk are written down. That's not going to be a violation, meaning that's fine. But to write selected psukim on a Megillah, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to do, or at least, again, the Gemara here is not weighing in whether you are or you're not. It's a machlokus in the Gemara and Gittin. Our Gemara over here just simply says, you don't have to cite our Mishnah as a proof for one way or another. It could very well be that our Mishnah, when describing the addition of Hiloni Amalka, was just simply, it could be that it was Ba'alav Beis. So don't bring our Mishnah as a proof in either direction. The last upgrade that's mentioned in the Mishnah is the doors of Nicanor. Okay, the Nicanor gates. We discussed this time and again. As you walk into the Azara, so there are two huge copper gates at the entrance. Shar Nicanor. Shar Nicanor, because the donor of these gates were Nicanor. Now, who was he? Any biography? So I have nothing for us today. But the Gemara is going to tell us a story. It's a popular story, famous story. The Gemara here, the beginning of today's daf in Yuma Daf Lamed Ches, we're in the top of the Amud, is going to relay the story. Tana Rabbana Ma Nisim Nasal Adalaso Sav. So what miracles? Meaning, what miracles are we talking about? All the Mishnah gave us, if you look back on the Mishnah in Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, all the Mishnah gave us was just one line. Nasu Nisim Ladaso Sav, Ayu Maskir No Sol Shevach. A miracle takes place to the doors of Nicanor. And the miracle may be what? So the Gemara here quotes the Tosefta. Kishahalach Nicanor Lahavid Alsos Melach Zan Jisho Mitzrayim Bechazir So Amad Alav Nachshol Shebeyam. So he heads down to Egypt in order to get the door. He's importing the doors from Egypt. I'll get back to that in a moment where we're going to discuss, was that okay, was that not okay? But right now, let's not judge. Meaning, let's not even attempt to judge. Let's just simply read on in the Gemara. Now, as he's in a boat, heading back from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael in order to bring these doors that he imported from Egypt, so out comes the Nachshol. Nachshol is a big storm, explains Rashi. Letavo, and the ship is going to get sunk. Now, as you know, so sinking ships, so what do? Throw things overboard. In the case of Yonah, throw people overboard. But throw things overboard. So what are you throwing overboard? So now Loachas Mehem V'Tilu L'Yam. So he took one of the doors. The doors were huge. The doors were heavy. And he throws the door over, one of the doors, meaning there are two. So he throws one of the doors over into the ocean. V'adayin lo nachayam, but still that wasn't enough. Miza'afo, from its anger. B'kshulatos chaverto. So then out comes Nicanor, and he takes the second door. And they're thinking, pondering, maybe we'll throw this one out as well. Amadu uvekarcha. So what does he do? He wraps himself up with the door. He kind of grabs the door, hugs the door. Amalei mitiluni ima. And he says, if the door's going overboard, I'm going with it. Right? So Yonah, flashes of Yonah. So miyah nachaya mizafo. At that point in time, the seas, tempest calmed down. V'hayim mitzara chavertam. So he saved the door. But at the same time, he lost the door. And he's at Mitzar, and it pained him. It pained him over the loss of that door. Now we got to the port of Akko. So meanwhile, the other door literally was bubbling, meaning it was kind of like riding the wave of the boat after it was thrown overboard, so that the second door was recovered right there at the port of Akko. Now some say that there was a large creature in the ocean swallowing up the second door. More flashes of Yonah. And spit it up onto the dry land. Now upon this Shlomo said, now mind you, by the way, Shlomo HaMelech, living not just centuries prior to the incident of Nicanor, but also living a base of Mikdash prior to that of Nicanor. So Amar Shlomo, Koros Batenu Arazim, Rahitnu Birosim. The beams of our house are cedar, and rehitinu means, explains Rashi, like we're running. Right, rehitni, we see that word come up a number of times throughout the Gemara, it means to run. So rehitni birosim. Now birosim, how are we going to understand that word in the context of our discussion? Al tikra birosim, ela bris yam. So in the context of our discussion, we're going to understand in bris yam. Now, Rashi explains this in one of two ways. Rashi says either bris yam, you could look at Rashi inside, ela bris yam, Rashi on the right-hand column, ki ilu karso bris zu im zu. It was almost like a pact that was made between the doors and the ocean. Meaning, door said to ocean, you take care of me. Ocean says to door, fine. Exactly what the two parties agreed to terms, I'm not sure. But that's one way to understand the pasuk in Shir Shirim in the context of our discussion. So another way to understand the pasuk in the context, or another pshan Rashi, v'yeshomrim brias yam. Not bris, but brias, meaning the creature of the sea. The creature of the sea, which according to the second version of our story, swallowed the door, spat it back up onto the dry land. That's what the Pasuk in Shlomo is referring to. Lefichach, therefore, explains the Gemara, like it's like, now you know the rest of the story. Kol sharem shayu b'mikdash nishan liyo shal zahav. All the gates in the base of Mikdash were gold. Chutz mishar nikanor. Because of, except for the gate of Nicanor, because of the nace. Meaning, so apparently the ideal was to be plating the doorway with gold so that it conforms to the general architect of the Beis HaMikdash. But because of this unbelievable miracle, and to remind everybody, those doors are different. Oh yeah, Nicanor doors, nace that took place, it's Pirsumi nace. It's a way of publicizing the miracle. So therefore, they kept it copper. Another possibility in terms of why they kept it copper is because the copper is very shiny. Meaning they liked it. They liked the glow, the shine of the copper. Reb Elazar ben Yaakov amar nechoshes klunaisa haisa v'haisa mi'iri kishel zahav. Another explanation that given by Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is that it was a certain form of copper. It was a certain alloy with copper. And it was very bright. It actually looked just like gold. So there was no need to play it like gold because it looked like gold. Okay. So a number of explanations in terms of why these copper doors remain copper in contradistinction to all the other doorways which were made out of gold. Okay. An interesting comment by the Tosus Yishanim. Tosus Yishanim is wondering why, well, what happened? Meaning, we know what happened. Why did it happen? Why did the doors fall overboard the ocean? Why was there a tempest? What exactly caused the ire of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So the Tosfos Yishanim says, I don't know what it was, but I'll tell you what it's not. Tosfos Yishanim Amar Nachshol, it's in the bottom. It's, you know, it's the print is small. If you can manage, I'll read. Amar Nachshol Lo Mimnei She'asa Avera Kishahalach LeMitzrayim. There was no Avera in going down to Mitzrayim. Meaning, the Tosfos Yishanim says, I'll tell you what it's not. This has nothing to do with going down to Egypt and doing commerce in Egypt. Tosfos Yishanim says, that's fine. Kedamrin b'sifrei, He quotes the Sifri, La Gursham Iatachozer, Avalatachozer Leschora, Ulekiva Sha'aretz. You can't live in Egypt. Meaning, that's the Torah makes it very clear. Parshas Bishalach, right? You can't go back. You can never go back. But that's only going back to live, to reside there. But you want to go back there for commerce? That's fine. Kibush Haaretz. I'm not sure if I fully understand this. But you want to go back and conquer Egypt? That's also fine. But you can't go back and live there. That's out of the question. So the fact that Nicanor went down and he did commerce, that's fine. That's not a big deal. So good. So the Tosfos Yerushalmi only explains what it wasn't, meaning what wasn't the issue. What was the issue? So that I don't know. I don't have any more information. But anyway, the interesting Tosfos Yerushalmi about doing commerce in Egypt. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara. Okay, Mishnah. Okay, we're up to the next Mishnah. The Elu Liganai. Okay, now, this is the final tangent of the Mishnayos, and this brought us from the previous Mishnah, meaning the previous Mishnah talked about all the upgrades, and how did the last Mishnah end? V'hayu maskirin osan l'shevach. All the upgrades mentioned in the previous Mishnah, that which was done by regarding the changing of the plaques from wood to gold, that which we added 10 more spouts to the kior, so it went from 2 to 12, that which made a pulley system for the kior, so that the water can go back down into the well, so that the water wouldn't be subject to lina. The munbaz would make all the handles of the knives out of gold, not the actual blades itself. Hiloni Amalka made the menorah at the entrance, and the plaque for the sota, and the gates of Nicanor. All those items that were mentioned in the previous Mishnah, so those were all l'shvach. Okay. We turn now to our daf, to his daf, Lamed Ches, and we start the next Mishnah, the Elu L'Gnai, and these are the things which are a Gnai. Now, possibly, meaning maybe, meaning you'll see there's going to be an ambiguity, and you're going to feel that ambiguity over the course of today. Because the way the Mishnah sets itself up, it's that basically everyone that we're going to now discuss is censored. Right? Censored. Right? All these people and all their actions, no good. But as we go through the Gemara today, you're going to see that there is going to be an ambiguity, and perhaps let's not censor everybody. So stay tuned, you'll see. Now, the truth of the matter is most of today's daf we already saw not that long ago. Meaning a lot of today's daf was already, we experienced back in Shkalim. So it's going to be an excellent review in terms of some of these families and some of the actions of these families. We get to talk over the course of these next couple of minutes about monopolies, antitrust, trying to break a monopoly, striking, real life economics. The Elul Ignai, Shal Beis Garmu Lo Ratzu La'amid Al Ma'aseh Lechem Apanim. Beis Garmu, this family, did not want to share the secret of the Lechem Apanim. Now, what is the secret of the Lechem Apanim? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to explain in detail. Shal Beis Avtina Lo Ratzu La'amid Al Ma'aseh Ketores. This other family, Beis Avtinas, they didn't want to share the secret of the Ketores. Again, what the secret was, of course, I don't know. But what did the secret accomplish? Again, stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss. Hugras ben Levi hayayodea perik b'shir v'lo ratzal la'amed. Hugras ben Levi had an amazing ability to convey music, and once again, he didn't want to share that with anyone. And ben kamtsar lo ratzal la'amed al ma'aseh ksav. And ben kamtsar did not want to share with everybody how he had a special and unique method of writing, and once again, no good. What that method is, why he didn't want to share it, stay tuned, the Gemara is going to discuss. Alarishon Namar Zechat Zaglavracha, Va'aleilu Namar Vishem Rishaim Yirkav. Over the first group, we say Zechat Zaglavracha. So that ostensibly means everyone mentioned in the previous Mishnah, meaning all the activities, actions, upgrades that were mentioned in the Mishnah Lamed Zayin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So you mention the name, and it says Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and it turns into a bracha. But Al Elu Namar, but over these, now ostensibly, the simple pshat in the Mishnah is everyone we just mentioned in our Mishnah, on Daf Lamed Ches, Shem Rishayim Yirkav, the names of the Rishayim should rot. And we'll discuss in detail later on what exactly means by rot. Tanu Rabbanan Beis Garmu Ayu Bekima Ma'aseh Lechem Apanim V'lo Ratzu La'amid. Here we go. And again, all this is going to sound very familiar because this is almost word for word identical to what we did back in Shkalim. The family of Garmu were experts in the Lechem Apanim and Loratzu Lalamed. They did not want to share their secrets with anyone. So the Chachamim said, okay, meaning Beis Garmu was on strike, so what do? We'll try to outsource. So they outsourced to Mitzrayim. Now the Egyptian bakers were good, but not as good as Beis Garmu. Now they knew how to bake like Beis Garmu, but they didn't know Ridiyah. Now Ridiyah, you can't really ask me because I'm limited in terms of what it is. The Gemara beginning of Shabbos says that Ridiyah is a chachma. It's a skill. It's a craft. So right, the Gemara over there, the lashon of the Gemara over there, if I remember correctly, is chachma v'lo malacha. So it's a craft. It's not a malacha, but it's a skill. It's a particular skill set. So it's a reference to removing the bread off the oven. And apparently you needed a certain skill set in order to do so. So the Egyptians knew how to bake the bread for the lechem upon him, but the radiyah they weren't good at. So these would create the fire from the outside, an external fire, and they would bake from the outside, and these would make an internal fire in the oven. Funny, our ovens are all internally heat generated. But we have this thing called electricity. So it's, you know, although I do remember the gas ovens of my youth. But anyway, our ovens are internally heat generated, and baked on the inside. It's funny, for us that's our ovens, meaning what's the big deal? But okay, halalu pitan mitafeshet, halalu ein pitan mitafeshet. But when it came to the loaves that were baked by the Egyptians, the outsourced Egyptian bakers, it didn't work out. Meaning, baked beautifully, but when they removed it from the oven, it caved in, it collapsed. But meanwhile, the bread that was baked by Beis Garmu, so it held its shape even after they removed it from the oven. So now the Chachamim realize that they're at an impasse. First successful strike in the history of the workforce. Now, I don't know if that's true. I say that for the purposes of drama, but in other words, the strike was good; it worked. So what the Chachamim wanted them to do was to share their knowledge with others. They refused. In other words, they wanted to create a monopoly over their labor. So they refused to share their secrets. Fine. So they went home. They didn't come to work. Outsourced. The Egyptians tried. And did an okay job, but not as good as Beis Garmu. So then they realized, kol mashabar Akash Baruch Hu lichvodo bara. You know, everything Akash Baruch Hu created was for his honor. Meaning, basically, Akash Baruch Hu made Beis Garmu, and for a reason they made Beis Garmu. Meaning, obviously, they had a secret that nobody else could replicate. Akash Baruch Hu made them for a reason. Shenemer kol anikra b'shmi lichvodi barasiv. Right, the pasuk says that anything that was anyone who calls out my name and for my honor, I created. Meaning, so their ability to create the lechem upon him better than anybody else, obviously, is for my kavod. Yachzer. Now, the girsa we have in our gemara is v'chazru, but the better girsa, though it's not there's no correction in the gemara, but the better girsa would be yachzru beis garmu limkomam. This is still the chachamim arguing. Okay, you know what? Let's bring him back. Whatever they want. Meaning they wanted more money, whatever they need, we'll bring it back. So shachlam chachamim v'lo ba'u. So the chachamim petitioned them to come back, almost like a subpoena, but no, it's not. That's not a subpoena. They're not coming to court, but basically, like the chachamim demanded. Okay, Beis Garmu, fine. You don't want to share the secret with anyone, fine. But come back. Ba'u kafalem scharam. But they need a little more incentive. Okay, so a bonus. A significant bonus, double. So they went from 12 mana up to 24 mana. Okay, different versions in terms of what the original wages were, what the doubling was, but in other words, they got double. So the Chachamim said to them, okay, but why won't you share the secret with anyone else? So it's funny, the cynic amongst us would say, I think we know why. In other words, they just got double the wages. However, they're going to argue, no, that's not it. Amru lehem yodim hayu shal beis abba, So they said that, well, look, we have a tradition from our fathers that this house is not going to last. So in other words, we know that this is a Beis HaMikdash, and we're baking bread for the Beis HaMikdash, for the Lechem upon him. But at the same time, we also know this is not going to be forever. We also know that since the Beis HaMikdash is not going to be around forever, so in other words, there's going to be an event in the future, in the not-so-distant future, where people are going to take our technique of baking bread and use it for Avodah Zarah. And now when they mention that, they mention the Shevach. And the thing that's praised about the house of Beis Garmu is that pastakia was never found in their hands. Pastakia meaning clean bread, meaning for their own personal use. Whenever they ate bread, it was a dark bread, an unrefined bread. It wasn't a good bread. Because they didn't want people to say, that, oh, look, they're eating from their own lechem upon him. No, they didn't want to say that. So that they would be not only above doing anything wrong, they would be above reproach. Meaning they wouldn't even look like they were doing anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with eating refined bread. But because they were Beis Garmu, and people would say, oh, look at that refined bread, oh, look, they're eating from the lechem upon him. So in order to be above reproach and above any type of perception of doing wrong, so therefore they never would eat, as a family rule, they would never eat any type of refined bread.
Were they around during the first temple too?
Unknown. Unclear. It sounds like, meaning in the Gemara, in the context of the Gemara Shkalim, it sounds like this is much more Bais Sheni than it is Bais Rishon. Okay, so now Beis Garmu, right? Good or bad? Meaning which category they fall under? They fall under the Zecher Tzadik Levracha, or do they fall under the category Shem Rasham Yakov? So again, if you go back to our Mishnah, the simple Pshat our Mishnah would be no good. They had a method in terms of baking the bread. By the way, I should have made this clear in the beginning of the discussion. What was so special, meaning what was so unique about their bread? So we talked about, the Gemara gave us just a quick description of how when the Egyptians came in, when they tried to outsource the baking, so the Egyptians' bread caved in. The lechem upon him bread, first of all, we all know, there are 12 loaves made in the Beis HaMikdash. It was baked on Friday, placed on the Shulchan on Shabbos, kept on the Shulchan the entire week. The following Shabbos, the lechem was taken off the Shulchan, replaced with the bread that was baked for that Shabbos, and you worked on that continuous rotation. We discussed already back in the Mishnah and Shkalim how when the bread came off the Shulchan, it was still piping hot, and that one of the Nisim that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. In the meantime, however, the shape of the bread, what was its shape like? So, subject to a machlokus in the Gemara Menachos. So, Rashi over here. No. Yeah. Rashi over here touches on it. This machlokus in the Gemara Menachos. But basically, the bread actually had a floor and had walls going up.
Like a brick with a hollow in it.
Yeah, right. Right, so if you knew what you were doing, which Beis Garmu did, so then it would actually retain whatever shape this is. Okay, anyway, that's the see the Rashi on the top of the second column, right? Menachzan shelafishal ayodim lerdos menatanor shelo yehi nishbar lafishu asu kementeva prutsa. It actually looked like the hull of a ship. Kementzfina hayu yireim ledaf kami bifnim latanor. Okay, anyway. Fine. So that's the shape of the bread. Okay. So again, going back, is this family now, right? Shem Rishayim Yirkov or Zecher Tzadik Levracha? So at the time, meaning when they were doing this action of not sharing the secret, going on strike, right, demanding more money, so it looked as if, right, they're like no good. But then in a little bit of retrospect, meaning, and we'll see, meaning it's, first of all, who are we to judge? But we'll see over the course of these upcoming Gemaras, in retrospect, I don't know, maybe they were sincerely motivated to not share, as the Gemara just got done saying. In other words, is this required from, does the Torah require this particular shape? Unclear. I don't know. Okay, it's a reasonable question. The Vayisim Hashem, okay. Shabbos Avtinas. Okay, we're going to come back to Beis Garmu in just a moment. We move on to the Beis Avtinas. Again, this is all review of the Gemara we did in Shkalim.
There was a comment in the article that the Eri said that the freshness was a miracle, and it occurred through the first temple and until the Kohen Gadol was born.
Okay.
Second
time. Okay.
Not through the second.
Okay. Okay. Very good. So, Beis Avtinas lo ratzu lamed am Maisa HaKetores. Beis Avtinas didn't want to teach anyone the Maisa HaKetores. Tanu Rabbanan Beis Avtinas, you became a Maisa HaKetores. They were experts in Maisa HaKetores. V'lo ratzu lamed, and they didn't want to share the secret with anyone. Shalchu Chachamim v'heviu umnim alachzan shesho Mitzrayim. Once again, an outsourcing. Okay, Beis Avtinas is going on strike, fine. We'll outsource, we'll go to Egypt, and they know what they're doing. So they outsourced these compounders from Egypt to make the Ketores. Again, what the Ketores is that it's incense made up of 11 different spices, blended together. The Torah gives basically the formula for how to do it. Of the 11, how many spices does the Torah actually mention? The Torah mentions 4. Although maybe I'm confusing this with the Shemen HaMishcha. I may be confusing this with Shemen HaMishcha. Anyway, Pita Makataris. We just did it not that long ago. It was back in Croesus, if I remember correctly.
Is that they were getting from Mishraim, they were Jewish or not?
Unclear.
How could they get items?
I mean, they're not getting the items, they're getting the workers.
But the workers, if they're not Jewish, then they get their
items. Tumah? Tumah's the issue? Tumah. Okay. Good. I don't know. Maybe they were, I don't know. So Ma'achzanja Shal Mitzrayim V'ayu Yodim Lefatin Kamosan. So when outsourcing to the Egyptian compounders, so again, the pitum, the compounding of the spices together, that they did fine. V'lo ayu Yodim La'alos Ashen Kamosa. But when the Ketores burned and the smoke was produced, the smoke that they produced, the outsourced Egyptians, were not as good as the base of Tinas. Shal halalo mitamer va'ola kamakal, shal halalo mafziah lekan lekan. When the Ketores of the base of Tinas blew up or burnt up, so the smoke created a pillar that looked like a column, just went straight up. Okay, and meanwhile, when the Egyptians burnt their Ketores, so it spread out all over the place. So when the Chachamim heard this, they said, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu created special people with special gifts. You know what? Let's bring back Beis Avtinas. Shenamar kol pal Hashem lima'anehu. V'chazru Beis Avtinas l'mkoman. I'm sorry, yachzeru, once again. Let's bring back Beis Avtinas back to their proper space. Shacholam Chachamim v'lobau. So again, they asked Beis Avtinas, please come back. And Beis Avtinas said, no, we're not coming back. Again, same bonus in wages. Either from 12 to 24. According to Rabbi Yehuda, jumps up from 24 to 48. And the Chachamim turned to them and said, and why not? Meaning, what's your issue? Why won't you share this information with others? And again, they had a similar concern, and not a similar, an identical concern to that of the Beis Garmu. What's going to happen is that this Beis Hamikdash is not going to last, and our method, special, unique method of compounding the Ketores, so that when it burns, it goes up in a column, is going to be used by the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and it's going to turn out that they're going to use our method for serving idolatry. And for this, they were mentioned L'Shevach. That whenever any woman would walk out from the family of Avtinas, so they would not be smelling good with perfume. And what if they married from outside the Beis Avtinas family? So masni mother, so they would have part of the ksuva, part of the contract with this woman. Ishlotis pasem. Look, very very prestigious family you're marrying into. Beis Avtinas family. You should be very fortunate, but you should only know from this point going forward, you no longer can wear perfume. Shelo yomri mimaisa ketores mitzbasim lekayim hashenemar v'yisim nikiyim Hashem umiyisrael. And the purpose of which is that they, once again, same thing as Beis Garmu, they are going to be above reproach. meaning they weren't perfumed. That doesn't have to come from the Kataris. It could be that they actually bought perfume from the store. But they not only wanted to be free of any type of inappropriate action, they also want to be free from the perception of inappropriate action. Fine. Did you notice one subtle difference between the base Garmu and the base of Tinas? There's one subtle difference. It's basically the same storyline, where strike, because they didn't want to share the information, the outsourcing wasn't as good, they brought back either base Garmu or base of Tinas, doubled their pay, and an explanation of why they wouldn't share their secrets with others. There's really only one difference between them. It's subtle. It's really subtle, but it's a real difference. The pasuk that was quoted, meaning when the chachamim recognized that they need to get him back. So if you look back at Beis Garmu, so what pasuk was quoted? Kol Masha Barakosh Baruch Hu Lichvodo Bara Shenamar Kol Hanikra Bishmi Ulichvodi Barasiv, for my honor. And then go to Beis Avtinas. What's the pasuk that's quoted over there? So, Kol Moshe Baruch Hashem Baruch Hu Lichvodo Baruch Shenemar, Kopal Hashem Lamaaneu. Kadosh Baruch Hu did things for himself. How come the pasuk changed between the two? So, the Tosfos Yeshanim notes this small discrepancy between the two incidents, and so he makes a suggestion. Kopal Hashem Lamaaneu. Again, he could look, he could squint together with me. Look in the Tosfos Yeshanim, and he writes, "Hacha lo ma'isi kard lechvodi barasi she'ein kol kach kenai im haya mefatzea ve'ein ze ela yaseres ba'alma." Okay, this doesn't answer your question, but definitely addresses your question. The fact that the smoke spreads out—it's not the end of the world. It's like a hider mitzvah. It's nicer. It's nicer that the column goes straight up. But it's Yaseres Ba'alma, says the Tosfos Yeshanim. So, Debi'ina Mishum Dechsiv Kopal Hashem Lamaneu. So, in other words, but the shape of the bread, that's a more intrinsic factor in the baking of the bread, and so that's more of Kavod Shamayim. But when it comes to the neat trick of the Beis Avtinas is that the smoke goes up in one column, it's nice, but not as necessary.
But
so,
didn't they say that this was one of the miracles that when you came to the Beis Hamikdash you saw, but nobody saw the miracle with the bread?
In terms of Pirsum Anes, maybe you're right. But in terms of the requirement that the bread has to have a particular shape, so it's a more intrinsic nature towards the mitzvah. Okay, let's go on. We're towards the bottom of Lamed Chesamad Aleph. A couple more brises, memras regarding Beis Avtinas, and Beis Garmu. Tanya, we're about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, right in the middle of the line. Amar Yishmael Pam Achas Hayisim Alach B'derech Matzesi Echem Imnei B'nehem. Rabbi Yishmael tells how he was walking, and he meets up with one of the descendants. Amarti Lo Avasecha Bichu Laharbas Kvodam V'Rasul Lamai Kvod Hamakom. And Rabbi Yishmael is giving Musar, meaning he's not happy with the family, with the Beis Garmu family. And he says, let me tell you something. He says, they were looking to aggrandize themselves and to minimize Kavod Shamayim. Achshav Kavod Makom Bim Komo Umir Kvodam. But now, look, in terms of Kavod Makom, that hasn't changed. That remains the same. In terms of the Kavod of your family, that went down. No longer a Beis HaMikdash, no longer a need for your family. So your family only did this to aggrandize themselves, and now look where they are now. So clearly Rabbi Yishmael is taking the position he was not happy with them.
Why was their action considered as a reducing Kavod Shamayim?
Now, in other words, they wanted to build themselves up at the expense of Kavod Shamayim. In other words, they had a special gift, a special talent that enhanced Kavod Shamayim, but they withheld so that their name could be aggrandized. Again, this is Rabbi Shmuel. I'm Rabbi Akiva. So, I mean, stop, period. Meaning, right, Rabbi Shmuel certainly is taking a position in terms of, you know, what their motivation was and how we should feel about them. I'm Rabbi Akiva Pam Achas. Sachli Rabbi Shmuel Ben Loga Pam Achas. Yatsasi ani ve'echa mibnei b'neim l'sad al-laket asavim. V'ra'isi, now the girsa we have is she'sachak u'bacha, the other girsa is bacha u'sachak. Either way, so I was walking together, and with one of the children, again, a descendant of the base, no, this is the base of Tina's family, and we were out in the field, and there were all these different types of vegetation and grass growing out from the ground, and he sees something. He doesn't identify what he sees, and his response is an emotional response, where there is crying and there's laughter. Amarjalo mimnei ma bachit, so why are you crying? So Amarli covered avosai niskarti. I remember the honor of my family, meaning in the good old days, right, the being part of the Beis Avtina's family, that was a big deal. Right, we had a huge name. Why are you laughing? Because I know, right, fates turn, and everything is cyclical in life, and I know we're going to come back, right? So he was sad, but he was an optimist. Now, what reminded you about the glory of your family? I see Mala Ashan. Now, Mala Ashan, again, go back to our Shkolim days. Remember? Mala Ashan was that one ingredient that was inserted into the compound of the Ketores that produced the column of smoke. And that the smoke didn't diffuse. Hareuli, so he says, who was walking with this child? It's not... No, I don't think it was... No. Right, Rabbi Shmuel. So he says, could you show me? Meaning, right? It's somewhere in front of them, but apparently there was a whole bunch of different vegetation. So he says, could you show me? I'm really shvuhi biyadenu shein marinosol l'chol adam. Nope. Family oath. It's a family secret. We don't show it to anybody. I'm Rav Yochanan ben Uri pamachas matzas yizakin echad u'magila samanmanim biyado. Rav Yochanan ben Uri tells the story. Now Rav Yochanan ben Uri also lived at the destruction of the second base of Mikdash. So he says that I found a zaken echad. There was an elderly person, and he had a megillah samamanim, a scroll that actually, basically, the recipe for the compound for the Ketores. Amartila mayinata. So he says, where are you from? Amarlimi base of Tinus. I'm a member of the family base of Tinus. Ani umabi adecha amale megillah samamanim. I have the family secret right here. In the form of a scroll, Har Euli, Rav Yochanan ben Uri says, "Let me see it." Amali calls much a base Abba. How you come in? Lo, how you masurin osel lechol adam. When the base of Mikdash was around, you know, we shared it with nobody. I'm right at this point in time. Like, we get it; it's a family secret. They're not sharing it with anybody. But va'achshav harehu lecha v'izaherba. He says, but now the base of Mikdash is destroyed. He hands it over. And when I share this with Rabbi Kiva, Amar li, me'ata asol esaper b'gnosam sha'elu. From this point going forward, we cannot be misaper in the towards the gnus, the embarrassment of this family. Mikana, I'm sorry. So that's the how much ambiguity are we experiencing right now? Meaning that for generations, I don't know at what point during the Bayis Sheni it started, but for generations, the family got censored, they got reprimanded. In other words, there was this acrimonious relationship between this family and the Chachamim. And, I mean, the incidents that we saw earlier was that they gave an explanation, but, you know, the people bought into it, the explanation, they didn't. You know, from Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael spoke very strongly against his family. But Rabbi Akiva says, but now... In retrospect, now that we saw that after the Churban Beis Sheni, they actually handed over the secret, so Rabbi Akiva says, you know what? I see sincerity. Now, what does it say? This is a tough question I'm about to ask. I don't know the answer. So what does it say regarding all the previous generations who didn't give Beis Avtinus the benefit of the doubt? That's a tough question. I'm not going to be bold enough to say I know. But, okay, Rabbi Akiva says, in retrospect, we could look back and we could say they were legitimate, they were sincere. Mikanamar Benazai. Benazai also learns a lesson from this entire episode. Benazai, who was going back to our Shkolim days, he was a Talmud and a Chaver to Rabbi Akiva. He was a student colleague. Amar Benazai, b'shimcha yikarucha v'imkomcha yishivucha u'mishalcha yinu lecha. The Benazai says, do you know where Parnassa comes from? Don't think for a moment it comes from anybody else. It comes straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. meaning, as Rashi explains, lo yidog, last Rashi on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, it's on the left-hand column, lo yidog adam lomar ploni yikapech parnasasi. Don't ever accuse anybody of taking your parnasa. It's simply not the case. It's never the case. Ki al karchach b'shem yikarucha lavo v'lashuv b'mkomecha. Meaning, if it's due to you, it'll come to you. And if it's not due to you, it won't come to you. And don't think for a moment, oh, you know why I lost parnasa? It's because of him? It's not true. Meaning, an example from this would be the Beis Avtina's family, where something was taken from them, but ultimately it's going to be returned to them. Ein lecha top of lam ches amud beis, ein lecha adam noge bimkom chavero, I'm sorry, bimuchan lechavero, nobody encroaches on his friend's livelihood, ein malchus nogas bechaverta, and there's no encroachment from one king to the next king. In other words, when there's a transition from king to king, so even though that is a transfer of power, but don't think he's taking over him. In other words, that's not the way to look at it. Afilu kamala nima, even a hair's breadth, meaning that when there's a transfer of power, when there's a moving from one king to another, that was all HaKadosh Baruch Hu's doing. You remember the Gemara that we saw together in Brachos. It's taking back some time. But the Gemara in Brachos that had Shaul... All right, there was a transfer from Shaul to David. And while Shmuel, or I should say rather, while Shaul was no, I'm sorry. No, it was when Shaul was made the king. No, I apologize, right? When Shaul was made the king, so Shmuel was about to anoint him. So that means that there was going to be a transfer of power from Shmuel to Shaul. So he had to stop for directions, and he asked three women for directions, and they gave him a really long answer. And the Gemara over there says, why? Why did they give him such a long answer? Because Kadosh Baruch Hu's moment of transfer hasn't occurred yet. It was a couple of seconds away, and the Gemara over there says that delayed answer that the women gave to Shaul accounted for those extra seconds. So in other words, that's the way we should look at Parnassus, that's the way we should look at a transfer of power, that it's all from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let's do a little bit more, and then we'll come back. Kugos ben Levi, Tanya Kishunos, and Kolobanima, Machnis Kolo Tokhviv, Omania Chetzbo ben Animin, Ashiyuach of Akonim Nizrakim of Asrosh Lachoreim. Hogros, what was he able to do? So he was able to play an instrument. The instrument happened to have been his fingers. His fingers and the hairs of his mustache. Don't ask me. I cannot help you in terms of giving you any type of visual of what exactly is going on over here. But he produced beautiful music. Tanur Rabbanu Ben Kamsa Lo Ratzel Amanah Maisa Aksav. Ben Kamsa didn't want to teach others the Maisa Aksav. Amru Alav Shayanotel Dalet Kumosim. So what was his amazing talent? He was able to take four pens, Ben Etzbosavim, Haisa Teva, Shel Dalet Osios Ayekosevis Bavasachas. And with those four pens being held in his hands between his five fingers, so the four pens, he was able to write four different letters simultaneously. Okay, and Ben challenges, but the purpose of doing so, meaning, okay, good, it's a nice trick, but why? Meaning, what do you gain from doing that? So presumably, what you gain from doing that, right? What word requires four letters? Shem Hashem. Now, when we write Shem Hashem, so let's talk about the rest of us. Right, again, right, I don't think anyone here is a sofer, but when we write Shem Hashem, so we're writing one letter at a time. So the truth of the matter is that in the process, it is a slight diminishment of Kavod Shamayim, because we're writing first the Yud, then we're writing the Hey, and in other words, so if you were to freeze frame any moment, it's not the full Shem Hashem. In his method, which is amazing, so but what he was able to accomplish was to have Shem Hashem produced at one time, with no diminishment to his name. So they asked him, so why aren't you, in other words, good, now you know why he did it, why wouldn't he share it? Ben Kamsa didn't have a response, he didn't have an answer to anyone. So to which the Gemara says, so as far as the former, Zecher Tzadik Vracha, for Ben Kamsa, who didn't even have a response. Meaning, unlike the House of Beis Karmel, unlike the House of Beis Aftinas, who had an explanation in terms of why they wouldn't share this, for Ben Kamsar, he didn't have an explanation, and Shem Rishayim Yirkov. The Gemara censors him. And okay, tomorrow we understand a little bit better. Zecher Tzadik Levracha, we say it all the time. Tomorrow we're going to understand a little bit better. Shem Rishayim Yirkov, we don't say that often, but we're going to understand that a little bit better. God willing, tomorrow we'll finish the third parak of the Masechta and begin parak Daled.